And now, broadcasting on Star Worldwide Networks, it's In the Green Room. Green is in, but what does that really mean for you? Join the gang for a fun and energetic half-glass, half-full perspective to what and how sustainability is the lifestyle for the future. It can really affect everything you do, from your health, wallet, environment, money, even your morals. So our goal, to help save the planet one show at a time. Now, welcome to the Green Room.
Welcome. We're in Scottsdale, Arizona, and this is In the Green Room, and I am Kinga.
I'm Quita.
I'm Brian.
And you guys already know the motto of the show. It's saving the planet
one show at a time.
And I'm sure you already heard Miss Kinga giggling, so you know we've got a fun-filled show for you tonight. We've got all kinds of guests. We got Mr. Bill and Cindy Abbott. They are the owners of the Holistic Center, and they are a licensed marijuana dispensary. Yes, guys, we said the dirty word. We're talking marijuana tonight, and it's all the questions, any answers you wanted to know. Trust me, we've got them here tonight. We've also got attorney Mr. Ryan Hurley. Kinga, you want to talk a little bit about Mr. Ryan?
Ryan Hurley, he's a marijuana business cannabis attorney. Is that how I say it?
Yep.
And he works actually with Bill and Cindy. And he's very prominent here in the Valley. And we're going to get to hear all about the laws that are changing as we speak. Brian?
No, I double what you said. No, I think it's cool to have Ryan here because it'll give us a perspective of where the industry's going.
Yes.
And where we have potentially objective laws and legislation. So that's great.
Well, and it's really cool because, you know, it's a subject we went back and forth. Do we talk about it? Do we not? Because you've got so many people that are, yay, we want it, and so many people that are, no, it's so bad. So tonight we really want to talk about the good, the bad, the rules, what you can and can't do, all of your answers.
Well, it's so important because there are so many people out there with challenges, and they medically are, they need medicine, and marijuana, cannabis is so much better for them. And as we sit here, Cindy Abbott, Bill and Cindy Abbott, who own the Holistic Center, Cindy was diagnosed with MS, and so many people are suffering with so much pain.
Yes.
And cannabis is the answer.
And I think we all have personal stories. So
right,
this
Cindy?
Will be.
Yeah. Can you say hello?
Yes. Hello. Hi, I'm Cindy.
And Bill.
Hi there.
Can you say your names and tell us?
Cindy Abbott.
Bill Abbott.
And we're going to talk with them, but I want to make sure that everyone knows how to contact us because I'm telling you, it's a filled show, meaning if you have questions, we may not think of all the questions to ask. So we want you guys interacting. You can get on our Facebook page. It's inthegreenroom.green. And then, hey, don't forget, this is a live interactive show. So you can give us a call, talk to us, talk to any of our guests. That number, it's 480-421-0621. You got it, Brian.
Brian has been like studying that number for months, and he finally has it memorized. It's so exciting.
I do. I use it every day.
Right, Quita? Isn't that exciting?
Wait, Craig is telling me that we remembered it a little bit wrong.
Oh.
So maybe that wasn't the right number. So we're going to tell it to you
Brian
one more time.
F on that.
Mr. Producer, what's our number?
Ahem. It is 480-421-0640.
Oh, I thought that's what I heard you say, Brian. So we're just going to act like Craig heard you wrong.
Here I'm bragging about Brian.
I heard
studying
nothing.
And doing his homework.
I am Sergeant Schultz. I heard nothing.
But I was just commenting on how he's been doing wonders and memorizing it. And you know what? What kind of grades did you get in school?
Maybe
maybe that's why we're not been getting calls. Somebody's getting a call.
Well, right? Somebody is getting a call. Maybe not for what.
So we do need to introduce Craig.
Craig is our producer. Craig. Say, hey, Craig.
Hey, Craig.
And Chet, he does productions here. Chet.
What's Gucci?
And then we can't forget our live band. We've got Eli and David with similar She's over there waving. You guys can't see, but
yes,
let me tell you, she has been awesome, awesome. We're so excited to hear their story, to hear
Melissa
her voice.
Etheridge, right?
Yes.
Tribute band.
Yes.
How
and
exciting.
So we're excited about
Love
that.
Melissa.
So fun-filled show. So why don't we get right into it one more time. Telephone number, Brian.
480-621.
Hey, one more time.
480-421. Oh, 421. Oh, 640. Well, why do you guys keep calling on me if I don't know?
Okay.
I mean,
next week, you were going to say that correctly. We're going to test you, okay?
No problem. Okay. I'll write it down.
Okay. Or maybe maybe Quito will just be in charge of the number.
I'm just going to write it down. So we're going to get right into our show because we already have people on our InTheGreenRoom.Green Facebook page commenting saying, I'll never try that. I will try that. So let's give you the pros and cons, and maybe that way we're all prepared. We're educated.
Well,
so
something
that we can
really
make the
important
right
is a long time ago, I was totally against cannabis.
Yes, I know.
Completely.
We talked about this.
Completely. Like I broke up with a boyfriend because of it. And I feel like, when you see somebody that is suffering, they have pain, they're sick, and this is the answer, how could you be against it? Mm-hmm. How could you be against it? Cindy? Abbott?
Well, I want to say first that we know that opioids are one of the biggest killer in our country right now. Mm-hmm. So, you know, people are dying every day. Doctors, they very easily prescribe all kinds of horrible drugs. Unfortunately, people get addicted to those drugs, and many of them die. So, I was diagnosed with MS. I was not a recreational user. And cannabis was something that I figured I should try. I don't have a lot of pain. I have disability, but I do get muscle spasms, and I have sometimes difficulty sleeping with the muscle spasms. And so I found the right combination for me, which is a very high CBD. And the CBDs are the medicinal part of the plant. Mm-hmm. That's the part that really works in helping all different types of things that go on in your body. For instance, we all have CBD receptors. Tomatoes are a CBD plant. And we're finding that with seizure children, that if you have the right combination of high CBD, low THC, their seizures are going away. So it's a very amazing plant. And so for myself, I found that I use a very high CBD, medium THC quotient, and it takes everybody a different different path to find what works for them. But it's natural. It's a plant, and you don't have to smoke it. You can use it, consume it in very different ways. You could eat it. You could use a tincture. You could put a patch on your body in painful areas. And we're only just touching on this beautiful plant. There's still so much we need to learn about it because it is federally illegal. We don't get to find out everything we want to. But I'm going to have my husband talk a little bit more about it. But we know that for me, what it does is, it most importantly, helps me sleep through the night very well.
Well, that's so important. You've got to get your sleep, especially to heal.
Well, and I think what also gives you guys credibility, not just that you are experiencing this for yourself, but you guys have a holistic center.
Yes.
Tell us about that.
Yes. So we named it that intentionally. And I'm going to let Bill talk a little bit towards that.
Sure. So basically, the Holistic Center is a licensed medical marijuana dispensary. We've been in business for 4 years this coming October.
Has it been 4 years? Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Feels like it was yesterday. You guys had the opening.
All of our patients must have a state-issued marijuana card, MMJ card. They're referred to into the program through physicians. And basically, the average fee a physician charges is around $100, and the state currently charges $150 per year to be able to get this card.
So it's $100 from your – what kind of physician will prescribe that for you?
Usually a naturopath.
Yeah, typically it's a naturopath.
Okay, a naturopath. Okay.
Yes, yep.
So Dr. Tonkey, who we had on our show,
also is one of those
about 3 weeks ago,
mm-hmm.
and she does
certifications as well. And you bring up a really good point because I have a lot of friends and family, and I think we all know some people who are trying this out. You know, because like you say, Cindy, it's you have choices, and you can go with the pain meds, or you can go with something that you know we say is natural.
Right.
But the problem is with it being illegal, a lot of doctors don't want to get involved. They won't sign that paperwork no matter how much they've treated you. They're afraid of those federal laws.
Exactly.
Can you explain that a little more? Because some people that have never been involved, they don't know, how do I get a card? Where
right.
do I go?
And that's a great question. And it's unfortunate there's so much fear out there still. And there are some states where regular doctors will prescribe. They'll do the card. In Arizona, not so much, just because, again, it is federally illegal. So naturopaths.
Why is it illegal? I don't even understand this.
It's considered a Schedule I drug, and Schedule I drug is with heroin. So a Schedule II drug would be meth and cocaine. So isn't that crazy that we know that something that heals and helps people is considered still Schedule I? We can get into the politics of it, but I don't want to.
let me chime in. So basically back in 1990, the federal government actually filed a patent to use the CBD portion of the plant to treat Alzheimer's and other types of diseases. So the interesting footnote there is the government knows the medicinal value of the plant, but it's scheduled as a Schedule I narcotic, which is still considered no medicinal value whatsoever. It has to be a Schedule III or IV for it to have a medicinal value.
And then now, and since you guys have a dispensary and everything, you know, I don't think people realize how technical this really is. It really is professional, like you're going into a doctor's office, right? Like, can you explain how
Absolutely.
There are different types? And
yes. So what we do is we recommend doctors that we know and trust and really like. And there are several in the Valley. And I will help them through anything. So I've had several MS patients, for instance, come in, and we're all different. So I can't say what works for me is going to work for you like anything else. So I always try to offer a sample pack of what might help them and just, you know, depending on their symptoms. So we give them the name of a doctor. They have to bring their records in, and then they get their card in about 2 weeks. And then once they get their card, they can call our dispensary or any other. There are currently about 104 dispensaries in Arizona, and they come in and see and talk to a product specialist. In our case, that's what we call the people that work for us. They're all knowledgeable. They're brilliant. They spend a lot of time with a new patient, going over what their symptoms are, what they're looking to achieve. And so it's a really nice process, and we've had so many people say, well, I was so scared, and I had no idea how easy and simple this would be and how much better I feel. And then we follow up with them, you know, and we give them an educational guide and a diary. What worked? What did you do? Did you use a tincture? Did you smoke a vaporizer? How did it make you feel? So that way they know and we know what to prescribe the next time they come in.
That's awesome. Now, a lot of you guys are already asking a lot of questions on Facebook. I want you to know we're going to get to those. We do have an attorney here to answer some of those. You guys are talking rules and things.
Ryan Letitia. Hurley.
Yes.
We could get a chair. Should we get a chair and bring him over? Because I can share my mic with him. Do you want to wait or should we bring him over now?
Well, let's bring him over now. We'll bring him over now. We're going to keep talking.
Okay.
One of the questions on Facebook is, do you have to recertify every year? Yes, it is every single year.
Yes.
You have to do that. And guys, tell us, what would you say to people who are so against this? I think a lot of the fear is it's going to become this recreational thing and everybody's going to be high all the time. And that's a big fear. So what do you say to those people?
Well, we know that it's not addictive. We know it's not a gateway drug. I can give numerous examples of people that I know that are alcoholics that had to quit alcohol years ago and can use cannabis and say there's absolutely no urges to drink again or to do another drug. The fears are, they come back to like the early 1900s. We know that it's a natural, it's a plant. It doesn't make you feel out of control. Nobody's ever overdosed or died from marijuana that I know of. Now, yes, have people done too much of an edible maybe and doing something else that have maybe crashed on a couch or whatever?
Well, and that's the funny thing. You know, when you talk to people about it, you compare the two. And this is not me saying don't take these other drugs that may work for you, these
right.
prescription drugs. So
right.
don't think we're saying we're against it all, but it's be a little more open-minded, right?
Yes.
So when you say that, you know, a lot of people say, well, you can overdose. So what's the difference in overdosing on marijuana versus maybe overdosing on one of these prescription drugs?
Well, the prescription drugs could definitely kill you. You could do too much. I don't know of anyone that's ever done too much of marijuana or cannabis, as we like to call it. What happens, again, is if you do too much, and certainly in an edible form, your body reacts differently to edibles. It takes 45 minutes usually to affect you, and you can eat the whole brownie and make a big mistake. And usually the worst that will happen from that is that you'll end up on the couch for a day.
Well, that was my question. If you eat too much, it just puts you to sleep? Or does it make you act crazy?
It usually puts you to sleep.
Or laugh. Does it make you laugh hysterically?
It can. I don't know. It can. And Ryan can also talk to more of that. But, yeah, I mean, you know, I particularly don't love edibles just because there is that long wait period and I don't know. I like brownies too much. I might eat the whole thing by accident. So,
oops.
You know.
Well, one of the most important things that we recommend is that you start slow with any edible product and you wait. You wait for 45 minutes to an hour, and you see if you're getting the desired effect that you wanted from that medical marijuana plant or edible. And then if you feel that you are not quite there, take a little bit more. But it's really about kind of slow and go versus fast and crash. Really important.
Can you guys also talk, one of the questions people are asking, is it any chronic illness that certifies you, or is it certain illnesses? And it looks like you wanted to answer that one, Ryan.
Yeah, there's a very specific list of conditions that are eligible for recommendation of a card. Sort of the catch-all is severe and chronic pain. So anything that would cause you severe and chronic pain would make you eligible for a card. Other than that, there's a long list of ailments such as cancer, glaucoma, wasting syndrome, agitation from Alzheimer's, MS, a couple that I know I'm missing. Yes, absolutely. Severe and chronic pain is generally the one that most people have. And it is the largest segment of the population. But a lot of those folks have severe and chronic pain associated with other ailments as well, like with MS. So, you know, that's one thing that people try to use to assail the program sometimes, say, oh, well, everybody's in pain all of a sudden. Well, you know, there's a good 10% of the population, that's 30 million people, over 30 million people in the U.S. that are in chronic pain. So it makes sense that that's a number one recommending condition. And frankly, it's by far the best thing that we can recommend cannabis for, because we know it works and because it helps people get off these dangerous and addictive opiates.
I love it. And so for you, for those of you who are just joining in, we are talking marijuana, cannabis tonight. So we've got
medical
marijuana.
And the holistic center that Bill and Cindy own, I've actually been to, even though I don't have any medical conditions and I don't use medical marijuana, but I've been there to their openings. I've seen all these patients that are so thankful.
Yeah,
for
you
Bill
know
and
what?
Cindy.
The interesting thing about that is our average patient age is 52 years old.
Isn't that something? Yeah. And the funny thing is so many people are afraid that it's the recreational drug for youth. Now, anything can be taken for granted and overused. I think we all agree with that. But when you say you've got pretty much seniors, that's who's smoking it.
Yeah.
Or taking it however they're taking it.
Or ingesting it, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. If you came to our dispensary, you'd see people with walkers, people in wheelchairs, people with cancer. You
can see that they're clearly people that are being healed with your magical medical marijuana. Yes.
Well, and Kinga, you made a really good point, because I think a lot of people are against it because they just hear it's a drug and we're going to legalize it. But Kinga, you're the perfect example of, you were against it. You broke up with somebody over it. In fact, one of our Facebook fans said they broke up with somebody over it as well. But once you got the right education, you understood, okay, this, I don't have to do this, but it doesn't mean I can't be open-minded and it be for people who need it. You just don't happen to be one of the people who need it, right?
Well, I fell in love with Bill and Cindy. Bill and Cindy Abbott are like angels, and they're such great people. And I could not stop liking them just because I found out that they had a holistic center. I just love them no matter what. And then they informed me and they educated me.
Yes.
And I was being ignorant.
So that's what we're trying to do tonight. We want to make sure when we say we're saving the planet one show
at
a time, education is a huge part of that,
it
right?
Is.
And
is.
So question for you, Ryan, from Facebook. Can you talk a little more about restrictions and privacy patients, that what we have with HIPAA and that type of thing?
Yeah, absolutely. I think, first of all, it's important to mention that not just anybody can get a card. You have to bring medical records from your doctor within the last 12 months, and medical records that show one of the indications that are listed in the law. The doctor has to make a recommendation. You have to take that recommendation to the state. The state has to approve you, and you have to get a card that looks very similar to a driver's license that is impossible to fake, with a 20-digit number and a barcode, even to get into these dispensaries in the first place. place. So that's important for people to understand. Beyond that, once you have that card, the state is prohibited from sharing that information. And in fact, not even police can access that database. What they can do is they can look up the 20-digit number on your card and make sure that it's a valid card and make sure that you're a valid patient. But they can't just go into a database and say, oh, I'm going to look for Ryan Hurley's name and see if he's a patient.
So, Ryan, if you're pulled over, that's a good question. Do you right away tell the cops, hey, I have a medical marijuana card? Because it's in your system, whether you smoked it today or yesterday. I mean, it's in your system.
If you have cannabis in your car when you're pulled over, absolutely you should let the officer know that you're a patient. Generally speaking, I'm not one to volunteer that information unless you have to. The less you say to police officers in an encounter, generally, the better. But if you do have cannabis in your car, you're coming back from the dispensary, there's an odor of cannabis in your car, and they have reason to believe that you have cannabis, then yes, you should identify as a patient. And in fact, the Arizona law does protect you as a patient from driving. You can't drive under the influence. But the mere presence of those metabolites in your blood system, which can last for three weeks easily, mm-hmm. if you're a patient, the mere presence of those metabolites is insufficient to get you a DUI. So they have to prove that you're impaired. So nobody advocates driving while impaired, and nobody should. But if you're being responsible and taking your medication and waiting long enough before you drive, then you should be okay.
And how many hours would that be?
You know, it varies. Yeah. It varies for everybody. That's one of the things that is hard about the difference between alcohol, for example, and cannabis. There's no agreed upon scientific level at which impairment triggers, like 8.08% for alcohol. So it's different. A patient who's been a patient all their life could be fine to drive a few hours after their last use. Other people may have to wait 12 hours to feel not impaired.
So can we give you a scenario? Because
sure.
We've been hearing these things just happen. So say you're pulled over.
Yeah.
And you've had no alcohol, but you do have the marijuana in your system, say, from the day before.
Mm-hmm.
So the cop tells you, you seem a little bit impaired.
Yeah.
You know you haven't been drinking. What do you do?
So you don't say anything, first of all. You don't have to do field sobriety tests. You don't have to do that either. If the officer wants you to do a breathalyzer or to take blood from you and he has probable cause to do so, you have to do it. Otherwise, you risk losing your license, having it suspended for a year. So you have to do a blood test and you have to do a breath test unless you want to lose your license. But they have to have probable cause to do that. So they have to have some sort of cause that you're impaired. And then even if the blood tests come back, if you're a patient, then they have to prove impairment. Simply the presence is not enough.
But I thought you were allowed to refuse the breathalyzer and go
and
to the station
work.
And have
you can do one or the other if you prefer.
But then you do have to go then into the station.
Yeah, if the officer requests that you do either a blood test or breath, then you have to do one or the other, or you risk losing your license.
But you can refuse the breath.
Yes, you can demand a blood test.
So okay. What if I say, like you said, you can demand the blood test, but does that mean right now you're taking me over to get this blood test? Like, what is the procedure?
Generally speaking, sometimes they'll have remote sort of facilities that they take people to where there's a phlebotomist. Otherwise, they'll take you to the station where they have a phlebotomist to take your blood.
Interesting. Yeah. Interesting. So now back to you guys. Let's talk a little bit more of maybe some of the symptoms. What are people looking for? How do you know this is something you should even consider?
I know from me in particular, when I have severe pain, I cannot take, I'm allergic to codeine, so I can't take any drugs. Mm-hmm. They all make me sick. I've had really bad pain in different areas, and I did try using a very high THC indica that completely took the pain away. That was the only thing that worked. Even an Advil wouldn't touch the pain.
I don't know what indica is.
Yeah, can you tell us the difference?
I'll explain that. So basically, indica strains are more relaxing, sativa strains are more uplifting, and hybrid strains are a mix of both, either indica dominant or sativa dominant. So basically, if you want to kind of slow down a little bit, then you're much better off with an indica strain, or if you want to uplift a little bit, sativa is better.
So pretty much the sativa you're going to kind of stay awake with, and the indica is more sleepy?
Correct.
And again, everybody reacts differently, though. So you could tell somebody, oh, you're going to be wide awake from the sativa, and it might work differently with them. So, you know, everyone's different, but that is usually the way it works.
So I kind of relate that to if every one of us on the radio show today did an Ambien, each one of us would be affected differently because we're all different. So just because a certain strain works for Cindy with her MS might not necessarily work the same for another MS patient.
I understand that because I can have a glass of wine or two and get buzzed, and a friend of mine could drink 8 glasses and not be buzzed. So I get that.
So can you guys then tell us, what are some of the, would you say, people coming in? What's the major issues that people are having?
I'd say it varies, a lot of pain. We have veterans. We have people that have been in severe accidents that have lost limbs. We have a motorcycle accident survivor that has had severe pain, got off opioids. I mean, my biggest joy is when I am there and I talk to a patient that tells me, I am finally off morphine. And I'm only using cannabis, and I feel so much better. We do see a lot of neurological patients with Parkinson's, MS, various Crohn's is a big one, and a lot of cancer patients. And some patients have 6 months to live. They want to be able to eat a little bit more so that maybe they could extend their lives. When you can't eat, you know, everything starts shutting down. So we have different strains, and we're still working on figuring this out because we aren't, you know, we can't really research it to the point we want to. But we're getting there. We want to figure out what strains actually make people eat more. What strains do this and that. So it's such an interesting, wonderful plant that we're constantly learning about.
I didn't even think of that you have patients that don't have an appetite.
Right.
And mm-hmm. that it's if they're getting one. Too weak and thin, if they need one. To get yes. stronger and eat more. That
yeah.
makes sense.
It's a big one.
And so one of the things I do want to touch base on is all of our medicine is organically grown and tested by an independent third-party lab. And that lab tests for any contaminants, if there's any potential mold, pests, or any other foreign matter. The lab also reports to us the level of CBDs, which, again, is the medicinal part of the plant, and the THC, which, again, is the psychoactive part of the plant that's in the plant. So we offer natural flower, concentrates, CBDs, lotions, tinctures, and edibles. So depending upon the patient's needs, we typically have a product that will help them.
And I think that's a big deal. A lot of people, you know, like we say, we're in this green movement now. Everybody's trying to be so healthy. So it's kind of like, well, I want organic, right? So that's pretty big. So we've got some music coming up, and then we're going to come back answering your questions. You guys have been actually asking on Facebook all day, so we'll answer some of those questions. Don't forget, you can give us a call. We are live, so you can ask any of us questions. Kinga's over there ready. She is the expert tonight. No.
No, but Beth, I would like to know what the real number is, because Brian, what's the number?
The number.
Brian, what's the phone number?
Brian doesn't want to be put on the spot.
480-421-0640.
Can we talk about our big party real quick?
That's say it again. Go ahead.
Can we talk about our big party?
Right. Yes, when we come back, okay. We're going to talk more with you guys and our attorney. So we're get your questions back. Coming, but it's time to do a little bit dancing. Oh. So we've
Craig,
got.
Can we find another mic, please, for Brian?
Okay, so we are going to talk with Eli and David from Similar Features, and I'm really excited to hear you guys' story. So, Eli, get on over here. Let's talk to you really quick, and then we'll listen to your gorgeous voice. So, first off, tell us a little bit about your band, because your band started because of the love you have for who?
For Melissa Etheridge. She is one of a kind. So, yeah, we're a tribute band. That's a new thing for me, but I've always wanted to do this band.
So give me the story behind, though, how this got started. You love her.
I do, and I've been in bands for years, and I've been, you know, writing and a professional musician. But I will tell you that one weekend I was headed back to college after a weekend in Kansas City, and that was KU. Melissa Etheridge was born and raised in Leavenworth, Kansas, so 20 minutes away from where I lived. So anyway, I heard her, somebody give me some water, on the radio, and it was so powerful and so different than anything I'd ever heard. So I found a payphone, which tells you how old I am. It really dates me. I found the first payphone I could, and I called the radio station, and I asked the DJ, I said, who was that? It was amazing, right?
You actually called the DJ.
I did. I said, okay. Who was that? And he said, that is a Melissa Etheridge, and you'll hear a lot of her. And so, of course, I did. But she just changed everything for me. In that moment, hearing her passion and her fire, it was just so, so different from everything else that was on the landscape in those days. You remember, I mean, it was, well, maybe you don't remember, but it was hair metal, and it was slick, you know, pop, and it was something that was very canned and processed. And so, anyway, her very original and soulful approach really struck a chord. And so from that moment on, I've been hooked. And then when she did the Grammys in 2006, she was a cancer patient. And she didn't come out with a wig or trying to hide the fact that she was doing chemo at all. She came out bald, proud, and she rocked the place. I mean, she just, and from that moment on, I was like, I want to do that. That's what I want to do. So,
all right. Well, let's do that. What are you guys performing for us tonight? What's the first song?
We thought we would do Come to My Window. It's one of her more popular songs.
All right. Let's do it.
All right, Dave. Come to my window, crawl inside, wait by the light of the moon. Come to my window, I'll be home soon. Now I would dial the numbers just to listen to your breath. And I would stand inside my hell and hold the hands of death. You don't know how far I'd go to ease this precious ache. You don't know how much I'd give or how much I can take. Just to reach you, just to reach you, hold on, reach you. To my window, crawl inside and wait by the light of the moon. Come to my window, I'll be home soon. Keeping my eyes open, I cannot afford to sleep. Sinking in those promises, you know that I can't keep. Nothing sees the darkness that has seeped into my chest. I need you in my blood, I am forsaking all the rest. Just to reach you, just to reach you, hold on, reach you. Come to my
listening to Miss Eli and David with similar features, and we're excited to have you guys back for another song coming up later. Kinga, what are your thoughts on that song? Great voice.
Well, I've seen Melissa Etheridge, and your voice is like incredible.
Similar?
Like, similar, better. It's amazing.
Thanks.
Thank you so much. I'm just thrilled that you're here.
Me too.
Queen, right. Where did you find her?
How did we find you?
It was We're everywhere.
That's how.
So I go out a lot. Where do you play?
Yes.
Well, we play clubs around town, of course, and we're hoping to play next year. In fact, last weekend was the Gay Pride festivities, and we really want to play there next year. So any sort of event that's out there. We're pretty new, so we just had our first couple of gigs at a place called Pranksters over in Scottsdale.
Oh, I know Pranksters.
Have you been there?
Yes, I love Pranksters.
Well, we're back there on May 13th, so...
May 13th.
There you go. May 13th, Pranksters.
What time?
I think we started at 8 o'clock. And we're with an Eric Clapton tribute band. So it's a double bill of
Oh, I love Eric Clapton, you guys didn't see how big Kinga's eyes got. So for those of you just joining us, you are listening to In the Green Room. And we were just listening to Miss Eli and David with similar features. They're going to join us with some more songs later. Our topic tonight, we're talking about medical cannabis. So we are answering all of your questions, the good, the bad, the ugly, the fun, the not so fun. We've got an attorney, and then we've also got a holistic center here tonight.
Bill and Cindy Abbott.
Yes. So we're going to get right back on to that. And you guys have been asking some really good questions. I think we've all been talking tonight that, you know, a lot of us aren't really educated as far as the good and the bad. A lot of us are just against it, and some of us are just for it. But I know one thing we talked about before, Kinga, this was earlier, is we were talking about parties and alcohol versus the medical marijuana versus the prescription drugs and all of that good stuff. And we were saying, you know, we've got kids and our kids are going to party, and that's scary enough for them to be at a party. But if you had a choice, I want you guys to answer this question. It's two parties. One party is filled with the alcohol and one party is more marijuana. Which kid do you want your kid, which party would you want your kid to be at, and why?
Well, in the past, I would have said, have your kid be at the party where there's alcohol. I was very ignorant, and I wasn't informed, and I didn't realize, you know, what the effects were of each. You know, I didn't really know. I didn't really partake. So Bill and Cindy have taught me a lot. You know, they're so knowledgeable with their holistic center, and I now know a lot more. So I would say the cannabis marijuana party would probably, people would be more peaceful.
Yes. For your kids, at least, because like you said, okay, at this party that where there is marijuana, where it shouldn't be because it's illegal,
right.
But we're simply, we're
right.
not talking about Absolutely. Legalizing it recreational. What we're saying is so many people are against it, but we're okay with alcohol.
What you're right. saying is, where would they exactly. be safer?
Where would they be safer?
Where would they be safer? They'd be safer at the, now that I'm,
you
well,
don't
okay,
see,
let's ask
you
Chet.
You don't see fights
okay.
coming out.
Wait, I have a question for Chet, because Chet is 21. He's in college, and this is what he deals with. So here's Chet.
Chet has a question.
No, I had a question for Bill and Cindy. So why are some of the substances that are like Schedule 3 and 4, like I'm writing a research paper about this right now, and I know that benzos are a Schedule 4 substance,
right?
And they're like probably one of the most addictive drugs out there. I had a brother of a friend of mine died from an overdose of Xanax, which is a benzo, and those are insanely addictive, but they're prescribed all the time. It's pretty crazy. I don't understand that.
That would be called politics and lobbyists
lobbying.
And drug companies. That's why.
And Richard Nixon.
I'm not a fan of him either.
Yeah. No, the scheduling has absolutely zero to do with scientific basis and fact or reality. You know, again, methamphetamine, crystal methamphetamine, and cocaine are Schedule 2, both of which the federal government claims has more medicinal value than marijuana. It's absolute
wow.
insanity, and it's unsupportable. The problem has been, in order to get it off of Schedule 1, the FDA has to agree that there's been a study that's been done that proves there's medical value. In order to get a study done by the FDA, you need approval by the DEA, which refuses generally to grant it, and you need to get study drug from the federal government, from the National Institute on Drug Abuse, whose sole purpose in life is to prevent people from using drugs. So it creates this incredible catch-22 from which it's impossible to come out of. In fact, you know, back in the late 80s, I think early 90s, the DEA's own administrative law judge said in a written opinion that cannabis is one of the most therapeutic and benign substances known to man, and that there's no scientific basis at all for maintaining Schedule 1. Unfortunately, the way administrative law works is the DEA was free to completely ignore that recommendation. So there is no reason other than crazy politics and lobbying and all sorts of things.
Well, first of all, if I may, I think FDA actually stands for federal dumbasses, but that's just me. Second of all, earlier you mentioned
Wait,
probable—
you guys don't want medical cocaine? What?
Keep going. Don't you answer. Keep going.
earlier you mentioned probable cause, getting stopped for probable cause. And I know this is probably a big ambiguous question, but what would they consider probable cause?
Yeah, it is ambiguous. It's a totality of the circumstances. So, you know, something certainly like obvious swerving or, you know, running your car up on a curb or running a red light. These things are all certainly reasonable suspicion to stop you. And then anything like bloodshot eyes, slurring of your speech, the smell of cannabis is potential. If you had a pipe or a joint in your car, if you do unfortunately submit to the field sobriety test, they can use those to establish probable cause. So it is a totality of the circumstances. Frankly, it's not terribly hard for officers to manufacture probable cause. There are a lot of good officers out there that won't do that, but unfortunately there are some that will. They figure if they pull you over, then in their mind they've got a reason to pull your blood. So the important thing is to give them as little information as possible. Don't talk. Say, I want to talk to my lawyer. Don't do the field sobriety tests. That way it's going to be harder for them to prove probable cause in a court of law.
Well, hold on here. InTheGreenRoom.green does not promote anybody being impaired driving their car, whether it's cannabis or alcohol. Definitely. We all should be Ubering.
Of course.
But sometimes you do get pulled over innocently. I've been pulled over before innocently, and I did not get a DUI. And it was the most awful experience. But the mistake I made was saying I did have a half a glass of wine. Mm-hmm. And now knowing, speaking to a lot of criminal attorneys that are my friends, that was the first mistake, was that I didn't
you
have to tell
her. You gave him cause.
Yes.
Exactly.
I said, I had a drink. I just volunteered that.
Yeah, that's probable cause right there.
He didn't even, I said, officer, I'm sorry, I only had one drink. He didn't even ask me, and I just volunteered that. Mm-hmm. But I was not impaired, and it was proven that I was not impaired. But we don't condone anybody. Of course, we want people to be safe out there driving their cars.
Right, right.
Correct?
And even though Green and the Green Room, we don't want you guys to think this show is about us promoting or not promoting. We're not here to take sides. We're here to educate you so that you can make a decision that's best for you.
Well, yeah. I am for it for somebody that needs it medically, because I don't want somebody to be in pain. And if it's been proven that it is better for people to have cannabis instead of morphine or
right.
many of those more addicting drugs,
mm-hmm.
correct,
yeah.
mm-hmm. Cindy?
Absolutely. Yeah.
And you know, look, when your doctor prescribes you one of these drugs, nobody asks you, "Oh, are you going to drive on this?" You know, I mean, everybody assumes
right.
that you're going to manage
right.
your medication like a responsible adult and not drive while you're impaired, whether that be alcohol, cannabis, or any other prescription drug.
Well, the prescription drugs too. They also say on the label, "Don't operate heavy machinery. Don't drive." That sort of thing.
Yeah.
So,
and there are warning labels on cannabis that are mandated by the state of Arizona and by the regulations that include some of that same type of information.
Well, and that's so. Go ahead, King.
Well, I do want to go back to the question, because you asked a brilliant question about where do you want your kids?
Yes.
At the party with the marijuana cannabis or the party with the alcohol?
Right.
And we've got this 21-year-old in here that experiences it all the time. Where are the students, 21-year-olds? More safe.
Okay, your kids are going to drink and they're going to smoke, but you just don't want them to get pregnant. So I'd say they're better off going and smoking, because they'll probably just fall asleep or eat some Cheetos. If they get drunk, they're going to be like rabbits up in there. So that's my answer.
Not speaking from experience. Not at all.
Like, that was good, actually, and that's true.
Yes.
That is very true.
Well, and as parents, we know we cannot control what our kids are going
right.
to do.
Uh-oh. Exactly.
Literally, everybody in my generation smokes, though, like 100%. So, food for
thought.
So
everybody's illegal.
You know, believe it or not, despite the anecdotal evidence there, the science and the statistics don't back that up. In fact, teen cannabis use is at a low, all-time low. And despite the fact that we see increasing legalization of this, both from a medical and an adult use perspective, every single state that does it, teen use is down across the board, including here in Arizona. And the reason that is because dispensaries, licensed, legal, regulated dispensaries that pay taxes, they check ID. Drug dealers don't check ID. I can guarantee you right now, you can go to any high school in Arizona, and within 5 minutes, you can get cannabis out of some kid's locker.
Mm-hmm.
That same isn't true for alcohol. They have to go tap on somebody's shoulder, steal it from their parents, you know, or get a fake ID. And it's crazy to me that we've learned this lesson with alcohol nearly 100 years ago now, that prohibition doesn't work. It doesn't achieve the goals that we want. And yet here we are making the same mistakes over and over and over again with cannabis, and we can't seem to learn the reality.
Amen, Ryan.
Right? Well, and then too, like how here in Arizona, it is legal for medical, but it's still against the federal law. Can you explain what does that actually mean?
Yeah, so it's kind of a unique scenario. You know, the federal government has the right to regulate sales of drugs, right, and enforcement of drug laws. However, the Controlled Substances Act specifically says that it does not preempt the field. And what that means is that states are free to pass their own drug laws. And in fact, we see that. Every single state has drug laws that somewhat mirror the federal laws, but they're different. And 99.9% of drug cases are prosecuted at the state level. The federal government really only gets involved when we're talking about massive amounts of drugs that are, you know, brought in from other countries, cartel-level activity. So 99% of these drugs cases are prosecuted at the state level. So if the states are free to make their own decisions as well, they can make things that are more restrictive than federal law, but they can also make things that are less restrictive than federal law. Now, the federal government is prohibited, cannot force states to enforce federal law. It's called an anti-commandeering provision. So they cannot come in and say, Arizona, your police have to enforce federal law. Now, on the contrary to that, Arizona can't say, federal government, you can't come in and enforce federal law. So if the federal government wanted to come in and arrest any of my clients at any time or any of the patients at any time, they could. The reality of it is they don't have the resources to do that because, you know, they're going after cartels, and as well they should be. So they don't have the resources to do that. And in the past decade, under the Obama administration, they've taken a much more rational approach to this, where, look, we don't have the time or the resources to go after patients, and it's not the right thing to do. So we're going to let states regulate them as they see fit.
So what are the rights then? You've got a lot of people who work for businesses that are national businesses. So then where do you follow? I have at my job, it's a national business, and I had a couple of people I knew that had cancer, and they wanted to get a medical marijuana card. But they were afraid that, say, they got pulled over for some reason, they got tested because it's random testing, that, but it's a federal law, so yeah, I can still get fired or in trouble. How do you handle that?
Yeah, so that's a case-by-case basis as well. Arizona is actually one of the few states whose medical marijuana law actually protects you as an employee, as a cardholder. So employers are prohibited from discriminating against you or for firing you simply for the fact that you're a cardholder. Now, you can't be impaired on the job. They can fire you for that. But the simple fact that you're a cardholder or that you test positive for cannabis, if you're a cardholder, is not enough to fire you in Arizona. Now, there are a couple of exceptions to that. One of those exceptions is if you're in a safety-sensitive position, like if you're a truck driver, or a crane operator, or a pilot, or something like that. And the other is if the employer would lose a federal benefit because of it. So it's a really case-by-case basis. Sometimes you have national employers say, well, because we're national, we follow federal law. Well, that's not true. They have to follow Arizona law when they're in Arizona.
You have a question, Craig?
Yes, I do. You mentioned the employers can't fire you for having a card. Is that information you have to volunteer, or information you have to tell them?
No, absolutely not. Now, if you are going to be subject to a pre-employment drug screen, or you know you're going to be having to take a drug screen,
which you pretty much do for any job,
a lot of them you do. And if that's the case, you should volunteer it. Now, just because they can't legally fire you doesn't mean they're not going to, right?
Right.
And unfortunately, you have to then avail yourself of an attorney to assert your rights, which can often be difficult.
Is that what you do?
I have done a number of those cases, yes.
Okay, I was curious about that.
And we've been successful largely in getting people's jobs back or changing them from what an employer deems safety sensitive to something that clearly isn't. Sometimes employers will try to say, because they're doing data entry, it's safety sensitive because they may make a mistake. Well, that's ludicrous. So we've been successful at getting folks their job back and in a couple of occasions getting damages against an employer. There are difficult cases. They take a while, but they definitely are winnable.
What rights do you lose in getting a medical marijuana card? Because I heard you can't carry guns. It's a couple of things that you actually have to lose rights in order to gain that one.
Yeah. Again, if you're a federal employee and you want to go work for a federal agency, that may be a problem. The gun issue is another a very tricky issue. No court has ruled that you don't have your Second Amendment rights because you're a medical marijuana patient. The federal government has determined that if you are a user of an illegal substance, that you are a prohibited possessor. Now, whether you're a user at that given time or you know, if you've quit, it's hard to say in any given scenario. But really, it only ever comes up as if you go to fill out a background check for a gun and they ask you that question. And then you're presented with the dichotomy of either I answer it truthfully or I fudge it a little bit and I create a, you know, I create fraud on this federal form, which is also a crime. Now, if you're going to a gun show, you don't have to answer that. If you acquire your gun on the internet, you don't have to answer that question. So, you know, again, the federal government does consider you a prohibited possessor, but that answer is not entirely clear. So you don't lose your Second Amendment rights just because you're a medical marijuana patient.
I don't really understand how it can be legal, medically legal in one state and then Colorado, you can buy it anywhere.
Yeah.
How is that? How are different states allowed to have different?
So,
explain that again, because I just don't understand it.
So again, it goes back to this notion that the federal law can pass drug laws, but the states are free to pass their own, right? So in some states, starting with California back in the 90s, they passed Proposition 215, which allowed for medical cannabis. Since then, a number of states have evolved and gotten medical cannabis programs. Back in 2012, Colorado took it one step further and did a citizens initiative and said, you know what, under Colorado law, this is going to be legal for any adult over the age of 21. And any state is free to do that. Now, again, the federal government is free to come in and try to shut those people down, but it's very, very difficult, if not impossible, for them to do that. We're hopeful that in Arizona we're going to be able to advance that as well because it's the right policy. People should not be locked in a cage for using something that is objectively safer than alcohol, which we celebrate at every turn.
I think absolutely agree. Hey, continue this conversation in the greenroom.green. We want this to continue even after the show is over. We are going to come back because we do have one of our guests. We've got 420 coming up, and they have an event they want to tell us about. 420, get it?
420 at the Holistic Center. It's a big party.
All right.
I have a question, though. Why is Brian so quiet? We got to get him to speak. Brian.
Say hi, Brian.
Come over here, Brian.
Hi. No, I'm
Brian's
just listening.
Learning.
It's interesting.
Yeah.
It's
good.
You guys are jiving, so I choose to take step to the side.
No. Brian's right. Going to talk this last segment.
So, guys, keep the questions coming. We'll have about 5 more minutes left to hear from our guests. But first, we've got Eli and David with similar features back again. And you guys learned a song just for this show. Can you tell us a little bit?
Yeah, like literally in the parking lot, we learned it on the way in because your show has got a green theme and it's so important. I thought it was a good idea to tie in the movie An Inconvenient Truth. Melissa Etheridge won a Grammy in 2006 for this song called I Need to Wake Up.
All right, show us what you got. And again, okay. We'll continue the conversation.
Have I been sleeping? I've been so still, afraid of crumbling. Have I been careless? Dismissing all the distant rumblings. Take me where I am supposed to be. To comprehend the things that I can't see. 'Cause I need to move. I need to wake up. I need to change. I need to shake up. I need to speak out. Something's got to break up. I've been asleep and I've got to wake up now. And as a child, I had the dreams since 1999. My dreams were wild. The promise of this world left behind. Oh, damn time and all this careless youth. To listen to an inconvenient truth. 'Cause I need to move. I need to shake up. I've been asleep. Now I need to wake up. I need to speak out. 'Cause I'm gonna break up. I've been asleep. And I need to wake up now. I am not an island. I am not alone.
here in flesh and bone. 'Cause I need to move, I need to wake. I've been asleep and I need to wake up. I need to speak out. Something's gotta break up. I've been asleep and I need to wake up. Green isn't just a color. Come and join the movement. We only have one planet. Commit to its improvement. Green isn't just a color. Join the Green Room movement. We only have one planet. Commit to its improvement. Right.
Is impressive. Hey guys, welcome back. You're listening to In the Green Room. We are just about out of time, but we want to make sure we've got Mr. Bill and Cindy Abbott, owners of the Holistic Center, and you guys have a free event coming up that we want to tell people about.
We do. 420 is a really important holiday for the cannabis industry. It's kind of like our 4th of July. So join
why?
Us.
Why is it? Why is it?
Well, we don't have the time. It's an urban myth. It would take too long to tell you. Google it. But join us for our 420 party on April 23rd from 10 a.m. to 4:20 p.m. for live music, food, patient giveaways, and canine adoptions. There'll be medicated and non-medicated prizes, so be sure and have your MJ card with you if you're a patient. We'll also be raising money for the 100 Club. Our Facebook page will be updated regularly leading up to the event. Southwest Medical Marijuana Evaluation Center will be there from 10 to 3 p.m. New patients and renewals are discounted to $75.
Ooh.
Which
is
really
good.
You don't
have to have your card to participate in the party.
That's correct. bring your medical records. If you don't have medical records, an exam will be discounted to $35. Contact them directly at 480-656-2119 to set up an appointment at our 420 party.
And we will make sure to have all of that information on our Facebook page, and we'll awesome. Connect people to your Facebook page because you had it on there as well, right?
Perfect. And
right.
Just for everyone's knowledge, we're at 21035 North Cave Creek Road, Suite C5, Phoenix, Arizona, 85024. Our phone number is 602-842-5790.
All right. Love it. And
thank you.
I've been there the last few years, and I don't have a medical card, and I don't use it, but I had so much fun at the party. So even if you can just go to the party, it's a great time.
All right.
Just thought it was special.
Yeah,
and there's a lot of kids that come with their parents. It's a fun event.
All right. It's a family event. Hey, we want to thank all of our guests for joining us tonight. And we can't forget our premier sponsor, Goodwill Industries. We're going to get Brian to talk.
Yeah. And real quick, Bill and Cindy, we didn't get to talk much about what you do for charities. You mentioned the 100 Club. And I think that's really important in your philosophy and doing stuff, you know, for the community. So thank you for that. Yes, Quita, I want to thank Goodwill, who's our premier sponsor. We had Tim O'Neill on last week, and we're doing some new tours with them. We're actually doing a road tour.
Ooh, love
it. So we'll talk more about that. And, thanks again.
Yeah, so guys, don't forget the motto. It's saving
the
planet
one show at a time.
Thank you for listening to In the Green Room. Join us here live every Tuesday at 6 p.m. or anytime on demand 24/7 on StarWorldWideNetworks.com.